Thanks for tuning in to Homilies at St. Mary's Catholic Center. We're glad you're here. This homily was given by Father Jacob Herleman, Associate Pastor at St. Mary's Catholic Center. Let's listen in.
I shall not see happiness again. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The entire book of Job begs a response to this. We hear this lament of Job coming from chapter 9, already after the calamities have fallen him. And the response that we give is intriguing at best. It's understandable for Job, coming from where he is, that he has this particular response, this deep sadness, this lament, verging on despair. In the first chapter, he's lost all of his children, his livelihood. And for those people, for the ancient Israelites, a complete loss of the future. No, not any longer would his name be remembered. His line has been cut off. In the second chapter, though, it's not done. He then has boils all on his body, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He is suffering, physical pain, emotional, spiritually. In all likelihood, our own trials and tribulations are not as severe as Job's. But this is not the point. Point isn't to compare ourselves to Job and say, well, I have no room to complain, at least I don't have it as bad as that guy. I can't bring these before the Lord. I can't mention them to my friends, to my family members. Because objectively, there are people worse off than I am. Suffering or any experience is a subjective matter. We are suffering. It hurts us. To a greater or lesser extent, maybe one could make the argument that on the scale of human endurance, you know, that there's different levels, different increments where people are. Each one of us, in some way, shape, or form, have been wounded by the reality of sin, by the fallen state of this world, whether in the form of sickness of ourselves, of a close family member, a dear friend, or perhaps some other evil falls upon us, circumstantially, perhaps afflicted with doubt, despair, depression, anxiety, scruples, the whole gambit, or maybe even just an awareness. Our eyes are open, we see what's going on in this world, the injustices of the world. The entire 40-some-odd chapters of the book of Job are about suffering, about this question precisely, the mystery of evil, specifically the just man who suffers. He himself has done nothing wrong, and throughout all the dialogues, he maintains his innocence. He has not done anything to deserve this. Why is this happening? And he's presented with two options right at the beginning of those first couple chapters. Curse God and die. Or, as he does, falls to the ground in his grief and worships and says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This question of suffering is something each one of us wrestles with. And even in the book of Job, there's no definitive answer. The book of Job ends ultimately with him having received tenfold everything that he has lost. That's not guaranteed for any of us, for any of humanity. The response God himself gives is one of his sovereignty. After Job addresses God directly, God responds, where were you? Where were you the day that I made creation, that I told the sun to split the night open, that I formed the earth, carved out its cornerstone? Do you tell the lightning where it should strike? Can you feed young lions? Can you loose the cords of Orion? So far above our own ways are God's. in the mystery of divine providence, so far better are his plans than ours. For creation is at its root good. Touched by evil, yes, certainly, but it was not made to be so. There is a good God who has created all this and is working to bring it back to that original state. And he has. This question finds its ultimate answer in the person of Jesus Christ, the just man above all, of whom Job is only a figure. He's a paradigm of innocence, the Lamb of God, without blemish or spot. Why would God allow his son to suffer and die, certainly through no fault of his own, if not with something unimaginably good in mind? In about a week and a half, we're going to enter into the season of Lent, a time when we focus intently on the eternal life of our souls, and less so on the brief life of this passing, this fading world. Yet for all this, though we do, yes, have our eyes fixed on eternity, we're not blind to the reality of our circumstances, for while we look ahead with hope, we're not there yet. We live in the here and now. The only place where God can encounter us, the only place where we can encounter him, is in the present moment, where he meets us, where he loves us, where he heals us. While we experience pain, even unjustly in the lives of others, through the life that has been given us, through the sacraments, we are able to bear these crosses with patience, with charity, and able to continue on with this mission that God has entrusted to us. For this to happen, for us to be those Simons of Cyrene for others, we have to, as Jesus does, take time to be alone with the only one who can satisfy our hearts, the only one who brings rest to our restless souls. For all the work that Christ does, preaching, driving out demons, healing, that work of preaching, of teaching, is at the foremost. But it's not from an intellectual book knowledge, but it's from a place of abiding always with his Father and addressing the problems of the world, the questions that the world asks, from that location, from being loved. So for ourselves, as we go out, bearing Christ in our hearts, becoming another Theotokos, as we go out and we look around, we see the lives of others touched by sin. We see others in circumstances so much like our own, unable to get out from the weight of our own sin, of our own efforts, riddled with anxiety, with doubt, with fear, yet burning brightly, always present within our hearts, is that light of Christ. And this is a sure hope, not some fantasy, but a well-grounded reality. There is a resurrection. The cross is not the end. Suffering and death do not have the final words. Everything that we claim to be true is, in fact, going to come to pass. As we continue toward this goal together that we are made for, we reassure one another of this fact. We have been made from God. We have been made for God. The sufferings of this world are not comparable to the life that is to come. May we go out of ourselves then, seeking to bear the crosses of one another, bringing that light that we bear in our hearts into the lives of those who cannot escape the darkness. And bless the name of the Lord, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray that this homily brought you closer to Christ and his church. To learn more about St. Mary's mission to form apostles for the church and the world, please visit aggiecatholic.org today. Thanks, God bless, and giggle.